Amen. As we started our new Sunday school series, because we'd finished up the three-year cycle, and the lessons in the, I know the senior high class is doing something different also, but the junior, the younger ones are continuing on, they're repeating the three-year cycle as they get trained. But since we started this one, we started off as we're looking at different doctrines of the Scriptures. Okay, the first thing we looked at, it was repentance, and then last week was saving faith. This morning, we're going to look at the gospel, okay, because we live in a day and age, there's many people who are not saved, who may think they are, one, because they didn't understand, it wasn't just praying a prayer, that saving faith, that belief in trusting Jesus Christ alone for their salvation and the repentance came simultaneously. Repentance is a turning or a changing of the mind. You have to see yourself differently. There was a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the what? The way thereof is... Okay, thank you, Shannon. So you have that, and then saving faith, because people say they have faith in a lot of things. Okay, it has to be in the finished work of Christ alone. There's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ, okay? It's not found in a church. It's not found in church doctrine. It's not found in good works, right? It's not found in good intentions. It's found in, as it says in the book of Acts, repentance towards God, turning to Him, and faith towards Jesus Christ. It has to be in Jesus Christ. And well, we're going to look at this morning, we're going to look at what the gospel is. You know, because some people, the word gospel simply means what? Good news. It's good news. There's more than one gospel in the Scriptures, the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, but we're talking the gospel of Jesus Christ for saving faith. And one of the most clear, simple passages talking about what the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul is telling the believers at Corinth, and he starts off by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you what? The gospel, the good news, the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye what?" You can't stand in salvation if you're trusting in another gospel, and the Scriptures talk about other gospels and false gospels. "By which also ye are what? Saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." There are those who believe in vain. There's those who believe, well, if I pray this prayer, I'm going to heaven. And they don't understand the need of realizing that they are a sinner and there's no hope of heaven without Jesus Christ. "For I delivered unto you," this is the gospel, "delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for what? Your sins and my sins, according to the Scriptures." We're going to spend some time on that. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." And it goes on and said he was seen to the 12, and then over 500 brethren. So you have the presentation simply of what the gospel is. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? It's that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You can't get saved out of the Book of Mormon. You cannot get saved out of the Quran. You can't get saved out of the Vedas of Hinduism. It's only through the Holy Bible. Faith cometh by hearing by the Word of God. Okay, who died? Jesus Christ died. It was promised in the Old Testament. He's the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. The name Christ is a Greek word, which means the anointed one. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed one. The Hebrew word Messiah means the same thing. I could take you to Psalm 2, it's Psalm 132, and they talk about the anointed one. That's a reference to Jesus as the Messiah. The prophets foretold that he would come to earth the first time to be cut off and to die for man's sin. The Jews, Israel's problem, is they were looking for a conquering king to deliver them from Rome. Years before that, from whoever had conquered them, whoever was in control of them. They weren't looking for the suffering Savior. They were looking for someone to establish the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is not the same as the kingdom of God. That's not what I'm teaching on this morning. If you want to know about that, wait until Pastor Kenny comes back on November 1st. See, you'll find out if it's important to you because you probably won't remember it. Okay, but I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25. This is a prophecy about the last days. It's going on. It says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto what? The Messiah, the anointed one, Messiah the prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And the street shall be built again and on the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah what? Be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall destroy the city, the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be a flood, and unto the end of war destinations are determined." Messiah shall be cut off. He'd come and he would be killed. He'd cut off or die for man's sins. He would come again to rule on the throne of David. A passage of scripture that we use a lot at Christmas time is Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. "For unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father." They're looking for that one. They haven't received the Messiah, their prince, because they don't recognize Jesus Christ yet. The tribulation is to get them to recognize him. Okay, so the first thing you notice of the gospel is that Christ was crucified. He died for us. Second thing is, I've said it many times, you can't help a person get saved until they understand they're what? Lost. They need to know that they're a sinner. This is not something said. I've been 5 times to India. You preach over there. They want to add Jesus to their list of gods, not understanding those are false gods. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's only one way. Narrow is the way that leadeth to everlasting life. But you understand, all are sinners, okay? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So Christ died for my sins. He died for your sins, because all have sinned. Psalm 58 and verse 3 says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born." You want a verse that tells you that your child is not a little angel? Right there. They go astray when? As soon as they're born. You know what the last part of that verse says? Well, turn there, okay? I want you to see it. You ought to mark it down, okay? Because there's some people who think, "My child is perfect. My child would never do that." Your child is a rotten sinner because he takes after his parents. My children are rotten sinners. My grandchildren are rotten sinners. They need a Savior. I'm at a place now where all my grandchildren have professed Christ as Savior. Ready? Psalm 58. Look at verse 3. "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born," speaking what? When I read that verse, I'm thinking about this and turning for the fact that we're all sinners and it starts at birth. Now, I don't understand, it's in the mercy and grace of God, that a child born before they understand what sin is, a child born who hasn't come to the place where they have an understanding that they're sinners, they go to heaven. I've got scripture verses to support that. David said, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. Sin is not applied where there's no understanding. Okay? God is not an unrighteous God. But it doesn't change the fact, even if they don't understand what sin is, they're still sinning. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, I was alive without the law once, but the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. We're all sinners. It says lies. How many times you got to tell a lie to be a liar? So that means all of us in here are liars. If someone says, I'm not that bad, I never murdered, the people look at sin as they think, well, it's not really sin. I didn't kill anybody. Well, if you're a Hindu, you know what sin can be? Stepping on a bug. One extreme to the other. But in the book of Revelation, towards the end of the book, it tells us all liars shall find their part in what? The lake of fire. Okay, so all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above what? All things. And desperately wicked, who can know it? The world says, just follow your heart. It's desperately wicked. The heart wants what I want, not what God wants. You ever want something really bad, and then when you got it, you found out it wasn't what you thought it was? Little kids, they go, I don't do it as much. Donnie doesn't work at Walmart anymore. I'm doing carnivore with my wife most of the time, so I don't stop by Walmart and go buy a sub and sit there and people watch. I'm a people watcher. I'll sit there. Don has scared me there numerous times because I'm watching and he comes around the corner, comes up, and, oh, what are you doing, Pastor? One of these things. But I watch people, and you know what kids do? They'll throw fits. I want it. I gotta have it. You don't love me or you'd get it for me. Give me, give me, give me. Your kids never have done that? I'm not saying they do it all the time. You know, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You have to teach him not to. You have to teach him with strategic timeouts. Want to know what a timeout is? Ask me after the service. It is not an enjoyable treatment for a child. A timeout restricts them greatly. Okay? From their birth, they're liars. I can still remember times when our kids were little. Yes, I can. I'm not suffering from Alzheimer's yet. All right? I can remember you turn around and babies cry when they're wet. Babies cry when they're hungry. Babies cry when they want to cry. If you love them, you let them cry. Strengthens their lung. If you grab them immediately, lungs don't develop the same. Doctor's orders. Let them learn to cry. Yeah, but what if they can't live without my mother's touch? I'm nuts. Okay? They're liars. So at some point in your life, you are a liar. Lying takes you to hell as fast as killing someone or any other sin you want to mention. See, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Following your heart without God controlling that always cost you. It's desperately wicked. There's none good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Boy, preacher, you're kind of very negative this morning. Your Bible is 2/3 negative, 1/3 positive. In a holy God's eyes, we are sinners, terrible sinners. Okay? If we turn to, well, let's go ahead. Romans chapter 3. You say, why are you driving this home so much? Because as you witness the people, you need to understand the importance of not just getting them to pray a prayer, of having them understand they're sinners in need of a Savior. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As is written, there is none righteous. What? There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. See, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. They've gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. One of the things that people don't understand, you get in more trouble, you sin more with your mouth probably than any other thing. Because out of the mouth, you speak the abundance of the heart. It's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace, they have not known. There is no fear of God where? In their eyes. That's God's description of a lost person. When a person's going through troubles, when they're struggling, they are more sensitive to the gospel. They may be mad at God because they don't even understand that what they did brought on what they're going through. But they're still more open to the gospel. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Okay? The Bible says every sin will be punished. Every sin. Well, I'm not as bad as the other person. Yes, we are. Outside of Jesus Christ, yes, we are. James chapter 2. You can't get a person saved until you get them lost. How can they repent towards God if they don't know they need to repent? James chapter 2. You present it, you warn them, you let God win them. Amen? James chapter 2. Starting at verse 9. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit what? And are convinced of the law as transgressors. When you place somebody over that, when you're embarrassed by one group of people and you're trying to suck up to the next group, you are a sinner. Bible says, have no respect of persons. Look at verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point is what? So the liar is the same as the adulterer, as the sodomite. Do you understand me? Sin is sin. Okay. Every secret sin shall be judged. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The very last verse from Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Okay. Verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And you can't keep them, so it convicts you of sin. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to who? To the anointed one, to Christ. For God shall judge, or God shall bring every work into judgment with every what? Whether it be good or whether it be evil. When we don't think other people see it, God sees it. Hebrews chapter 4. Everything is naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Nothing's hid from God. Every secret thing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to understand this. The reason I'm driving home the fact of our sin is because you need, if you love someone, you got to lovingly present to them the fact that they are lost. They need Christ. On some have compassion, making a difference. We talked about it before when we dealt with repentance. On some people, you don't need to hammer away at repentance, the fact that they're a sinner, because they already know it. They just need to know how to get saved. So sometimes you see when it comes to salvation, repentance mentions. Other passages on salvation, it's not mentioned. Sometimes faith is mentioned in salvation. Sometimes repentance is mentioned in salvation. Sometimes it's together because it takes place simultaneously. First Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the what? The hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest, make openly known the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. The counsel of the heart. See, it comes back to your heart. Sin begins there. It begins there. What's the punishment for sin? Death. Romans 6:23, if you've memorized Romans Road, just don't throw that at somebody. You've got to help them understand what it is. For the wages of sin is, that's physical death. And that's eternal death, because that's what hell and the lake of fire are. Death is not soul sleep, as some religions try to teach it. It is not annihilation of the wicked, where they're just no longer. It is eternity of suffering, of torments, and of flames. That's what eternal death is. Is there anybody, there's people I don't like in the political spectrum, right? I laughed, I looked at the picture of thousands of people at a No Kings rally. What a joke. But I would not want any one of those bozos who dressed up in clown suits, because some of them did, to have to go to hell. I have no enemy that I want them to suffer that. You need to be able to try to give them the gospel. If you give it with your self-righteous attitude, you know what they won't receive? The gospel. The gospel is eternal punishment. Second death is mentioned in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. So we saw in the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, Christ died for our sins. He's the Messiah. He's Christ. He's the anointed one, the only one who could take that for us. We've seen that all men are sinners. If you don't believe that, you're not saved. If you're not lost, you can't be found. It can't be 1, 2, 3, pray after me. If some of those people were ready and they already knew their sinners and they prayed to receive Christ, are they saved? Yes. Repentance toward God, faith toward Jesus Christ. The good news is that Christ, according to the gospel, the good news, he died for our sins. He's the sinless Son of God, and he did not deserve to die. Jesus said, I always do all things to please the Father. He died in our place. He took our punishment. Salvation is an exchange. Our sin put on him. His righteousness put on us. If you're going to lead people to the Lord, they need to understand that. You can remove the doubt, the fear, the loss of assurance when they understand. When you give them Scripture, the support, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made what? Righteousness of God in Him. When we believe on Jesus Christ, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, your sin was put on Him because the price was paid by Him. His righteousness was imputed to you. That's the good news. He died for our sins, was buried, and on the third day rose again to show that He had victory over sin, hell, and death. The grave couldn't keep Him. To be saved, a person must see himself as a wicked sinner before God. Well, I'm not that bad. Do they deserve to be condemned? Can we measure up to a righteous God? No. You can't be saved apart from that. If a person thinks they're basically a good person and they're going to add Jesus Christ onto it, are they truly getting saved? Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us, by the washing, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Story was given of a pastor out on visitation with a veteran missionary on a Saturday morning, and they came to a door, knocked on the door, and after a few minutes the missionary showed the man the Romans Road, and he led the man in a sinner's prayer. And while the missionary's now filling out the report card, I got another notch in my belt, another name on the account, the pastor looked at the man and asked him if he believed he was a good person. The man said, yeah, I am. He asked him if he believed if a good person could go to heaven by being a good person, and the man answered, yes. Just after he had prayed the sinner's prayer. Did that man know that he was a lost person? No. You can't apply the good news until they know the bad news. First major goal in soul winning is to help people to see that they are sinners. I grew up in a church. They taught me they are venial sins, where I got to say 10 Our Fathers and an act of contrition, and there's mortal sins. Oh, those are the big ones. You know what God says? Sin is sin. So be careful how you judge people differently. We read the verse, sin is a transgression of the law. You give them Scripture, the Holy Spirit works through that Scripture supernaturally, brings conviction to the heart, and make him feel guilty before God. Look at John chapter 16. Speaking of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, verse 7, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you, it's necessary that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Look at verse 8. And when he is come, he will what? Reprove the world of sin and of righteousness of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and show it unto you. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, He has to work. He reproves the world of sin. Now, as we go through this, Again, we told you the gospel simply is 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for what? Our sins, according to what? It's the Word of God that's preeminent in that, according to the Scriptures. That He was buried and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Psalm 22. Verse 1. My God, why hast thou what? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? What did Jesus call out on the cross? This psalm. But I am a worm and no man, verse 6. Reproach of men, despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing He delighted in him. What was one of the accusations they brought against Christ? Okay. Verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and roaring lion. There was a spiritual battle taking place there, people. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are what? My heart is like wax, it is melted in my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me unto the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me about, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They what? This is a prophecy of King David in Psalm 22 of a coming event 1,000 years in the future. They pierced my... Crucifixion was not used as a punishment until the Romans came into power. The main reason they pierced their hands and feet is they used it against thieves and murderers, things you did with your hands and with your feet. And they crucified them. It was a horrible death. Given 1,000 years beforehand. Jesus knew this. It was prophesied He would die by crucifixion. Psalm 22, verses 14 through 16. Look at John 19. John 19. Verse 16, then delivered He him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth unto a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. His death by crucifixion. Murderers and robbers. The Scriptures prophesied of that. Back in Psalm 22, let me get back there. In Psalm 22, look at verse 18. He hath delivered my soul in peace. The battle that was against me, there were many with me. No, I'm not, that wrong Psalm, excuse me. Psalm 22, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. What did the soldiers do? Do I need you to take you to the gospel passages, Matthew 27, speaking about that? The words He spoke from the cross in Matthew 27, 46 are found in Psalm 22, 1. So Scripture prophesied the words that Jesus would speak from the cross. The Scripture prophesied that Jesus would thirst. Psalm 22:15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. He would thirst. John 19, 28, he cries out, I thirst. The scripture prophesied that people would mock him. We already read the passage, Psalm 22, verses 6 through 8. You find it in Matthew 27, 39, and 41 through 43. The scripture prophesied that the people would sit and stare at him. Psalm 22, 17. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. Matthew 27, 36. That's exactly what they did. A death prophesied for my sin. We've taught a long time in this church, Jesus didn't just die physically, he suffered an eternity of hell in 6 hours' time on the cross. Because the cry of a man in hell will be, my God, my God. The cry of a man in hell will be, I am a worm. They're bound hand and foot. No use for their arms or legs. I am a worm and no man. You know, worms are blind. Do you know that the hottest part of a flame lacks light? It's black. Black is the absence of light. I am a worm and no man. That's what he suffered for me. So whenever you feel like, boy, it's cost me a lot to be saved, you're looking at the wrong thing. It cost him eternity in hell in 6 hours' time for me to be saved. Back in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4, and it says, and that he was buried, and that he rose on the third, again the third day according to the scriptures. His burial proved that he really died. Can anybody live in a tomb? You know, actually see, they hid groceries in the tomb. After he'd been stabbed in the side, showing that he was dead because blood and water came out, doesn't happen with a living person. It happens with a dead person. That's why it's important it talks about both parts. He's put in the tomb. One of the theories that was used to deny the death, burial, and resurrection was the swoon theory. You know, they make movies about giving somebody just enough drugs to make it seem like their heart stops. They can't be found. And then next thing you know, they give them something to bring them out of that. It's to make believe that the crucifixion and the burial weren't real. He was 3 days and three nights. They didn't break Jesus' legs because he'd already passed away. He'd already died. His soul had already gone to hell for me. The other two thieves, why would they break their legs? To make them so, yes, because even though they were nailed there, your legs will hold the weight for a certain length of time. They want them to die sooner. So they break the legs because Jesus is already gone, and the weight of their body makes it so they can't breathe. Their lungs can't function any longer, and it's called expiation. They died because they couldn't breathe. They suffocate. They didn't break Jesus' legs. He was already gone. Already gone. He was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. I can remember going to a pastor's conference. I had Pastor Christian. I was going with him. I was his assistant. And I listened to two preachers argue about whether Jesus was crucified on a Friday. No, he wasn't. You can't get 3 days and three nights, according to the scriptures, to have him rise in the beginning of that Sunday, the first day. Okay, he couldn't come out of the tomb until after Saturday night at sundown. He couldn't, because he had to have 3 days, three nights. If you count back, some people try to say maybe it was Thursday. No, I'm pretty sure it teaches Scripture has to be Wednesday. Okay? If you count it, you look at the dates. I took and all of every event, if you take the time to line them out, it has to be a Wednesday. He has to be in the tomb before 6 o'clock that Wednesday night because it was a high Sabbath day. He had to be buried before the Sabbath. Okay? From 6 o'clock Friday night in Jerusalem to 6 o'clock Saturday night is the Sabbath. That was a holy week for the Jews. There was a special Sabbath. You can study it out. Matthew 12:40 tells us he was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. We know that Jesus rose from the dead early Sunday morning. Luke 24:1, I said, set out the events. If he was in there 3 days and three nights, it comes to Wednesday. I don't think it can come out any other thing. And he was buried according to scriptures. Turn to Isaiah 53. See, you can tell somebody to trust on Jesus Christ, and if they don't have an understanding of what that means, are they saved? Faith towards Jesus Christ, that's Him alone. Isaiah 53. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. The Messiah was killed. And he made his grave with the what? Wicked and the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Okay, he was buried. In the tomb of a rich man. What tomb was Jesus placed into? Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders assembly. Oh, wait a minute. I'm looking at the wrong. I'm looking at 26. I want 27. Matthew 27, 57. And when even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded in the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. And he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. He had to get him in the tomb quickly. They wanted to come and anoint him properly. That's why they came back after the Sabbath days to do so. But he was buried in a rich man's tomb, prophesied in Isaiah 53. He rose again according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:4. Okay, look at Psalm 16. Psalm 16. His resurrection is prophesied. Verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my what? Neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. The resurrection proves that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Look at verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the what? Resurrection from the dead. He rose again the third day. Jesus said he would do so. Matthew 16:21. We'll, for sake of time, we won't turn there. He said he would rise again on the third day. If it hadn't happened, he'd have proven that he was a false prophet, not the Son of God as he claimed. Is there evidence that the gospel is true? It tells us he was seen of over 500 brethren. Acts 1:3 says, by many infallible proofs. Book of Hebrews says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We weren't there, we didn't see it. Do we see him on the throne? No. We base it off the scriptures. We base it off the word of God. 1 Corinthians 15:6, he was seen above more than 500 brethren on one occasion. At the time the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, the vast majority of those people were probably still alive. It wasn't a story passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation. The people who had seen him alive were still living, many, many of them. And it changed the lives of everyone who saw him. Saul was a religious zealot who wanted to kill the followers of Christ until he met Jesus. He was converted. He became Paul, the greatest defender of the faith in the Word of God. It changed him. The disciples, you study the history of them, they were martyred bringing the gospel to so many. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 again. And that he was buried, verse 4, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Isaiah 53:10. Okay, we looked at that. And that he was seen of Cephas. Who's Cephas? Peter. And of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fall asleep. After that, he was seen of who? James. James who? That's his half-brother. Say his half-brother because they had the same mother. Mary didn't stay ever Virgin Mary. You know, she didn't have a virgin. She had a virgin birth, but then she didn't stay a virgin after that. She gave birth and then gave birth to children. Mary and Joseph had other children. Okay? He was seen of his half-brother James. Now, okay, I want you to see something with this. Go to John chapter 7. And we'll finish up. John chapter 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples may also see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, that he himself seek, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Now who told him to do that? Verse 3, his what? Look at verse 5. For neither did his what? His siblings, half-brothers and sisters, didn't believe that he was the Christ. Didn't believe that he was the Messiah. He was seen of them after the resurrection. It convinced Paul, it converted him from being Christ's bitter enemy. He had nothing to gain in this earth by following Christ. A martyr's death, stoning, whipping, no family. He trusted in the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They need to hear the gospel to be saved. Repentance towards God, faith towards Jesus Christ. Scripture showing them that He's the one. Because they can't add Him to any other thing. There's one way. There's one Lord. There's one faith. All God's people said, take a break.